A new year. Welcome to 2026. It is our season opener of the Nova Scotia SPCA podcast. We're so glad that you're here to talk today about animal welfare. What is your resolution for 2026? Did you take time over the break to reflect on your past year? Here at the Nova Scotia SPCA, our CEO, Elizabeth Murphy, did. And she's here today to share with you on her reflections. Hi, Elizabeth. Welcome to the podcast.
Good morning, Sarah.
So this is your second time on the podcast.
It is, yes.
So thank you for being here. Just to remind listeners who don't, maybe hadn't listened to the first time you were on, can you introduce yourself? How long have you been with the SPCA?
So I started in 2013. So I would be in my 13th year, lucky 13.
As CEO.
Yeah, as CEO.
13 years, you've seen a lot of change at the organization, from where we were when you got here, where we are now, and then thinking about the future. And so you reflected over the holidays about those three things.
A lot of things.
And you wrote a reflection that has been posted, that has been sent out, mm-hmm. that you want to talk several times over the year to supporters, donors, staff, volunteers, community, about the SPCA past, present, and future. Why did you decide to do a several part reflection?
Well, I think that what happened is, I think that for me, over, it's the end of the year, it's Christmas holidays, I think the world has a moment to take time to think and reflect. So I think it's natural for me to do that. And I think about a lot of things. There's a lot happening in the world right now. It's very heavy. And I think about its impact on the Nova Scotia SPCA, on the animals, on our communities. And to think that I started all of this with an intention to going the rounds and having conversations with people, that's not true. I think what happened is that I wrote down a lot of my thoughts, because there are things that I do want to have communicated to the province, to the people in our province, to the communities that we serve, so that we can better support the animals. And I wrote it down. And I think that what happened is it sort of came off more like a grocery list written during a fire drill. And when I shared that with my circle, that was communicated, and it was like, well, that's sort of a lot. why don't we look at doing a bit of a series? Yeah, and I think it's a perfect fit, because we are coming up to 150 years. And, I want to avoid it being sort of like a highlight reel. I want more depth, yeah, to our communication, so that people are understanding, the reasons why we're making the decisions we are for the animals and for the communities, what's impacting those decisions, and, how accountable we are trying to be, and, how we're working to hold ourselves with integrity as we work for the animals and the communities.
I think it's interesting that you spoke there. Just a lot of people don't realize that, 2026, our 149th year, yeah, of serving people, pets, pet families in Nova Scotia, that we are on the precipice of a very big milestone that a lot of organizations haven't reached yet, that we are older than the chocolate chip cookie is one of the things that I always say, older than sliced bread as well. So the 150th, that idea, because again, it doesn't just turn January 1st in 2027 and we start, right, we have to have conversations about it. Did that spur you to do this reflection?
I'm just going to go back to, as a natural flow of the work that I do, I have to consider budgets, right? And so there's a budget process that's happening as well, and that makes me think about all of the goals we have, what we want to accomplish for the communities, how we want to serve and support. And I have to figure out how we're going to do that. You know, financially, how we're going to do that with the human resources we have, how are we going to do that? Being considerate of, you know, the potential for staff burnout. It's heavy work, mm-hmm. and the world is in a heavy place. And so those are the things that have spurred me on to be like, how are we going to accomplish these goals? And what is it going to look like? And what is the next 150 years going to look like? What are the things that I can do now to help with the next, not only, you know, 10, 20 years? I mean, I want to make sure that what all of us here have built, that good hard work, again, behalf of the animals in the community, continue, you know, in a position of strength.
You write in your introduction to this first reflection piece, a new year always brings a chance to pause. And in my notes, I did have P-A-W-S, to take a breath, look back at what we've learned, and look ahead at where we're going. Is there ever a pause at the Nova Scotia SPCA?
A pause at the SPCA is a bit like a quiet moment in a busy household. It's usually brief. Everybody knows that pretty soon somebody's going to need some. Mm-hmm. So that said, I do think that we have to build intentional pauses, even when we're in high urgency moments, not because the animals stop needing us, they're not going to stop needing us, but because if we never stop to reflect, we risk repeating problems. We risk burning out our people and making the mistake that motion is progress. So the pause is less sort of feed up, have a cup of tea, but it's more a deep breath. And are we doing this the right way?
Spoken like a mom and a CEO who's had to find those pauses. Yeah.
It's a lot. But it's a lot. But so many of us are in the same position. Like, we're juggling a lot of balls.
Yeah. So you say that trust isn't just words. What and how does trust show up for you?
For me, trust is when people are doing and people are making the right decisions when nobody is looking. It's about consistency. It's about documentation. It's about following process. And it's about even when you're tired and it's the end of your day and all you want to do is go home and become one with your couch, that you complete what you're doing to keep everyone and the animals safe. It's about being willing to say that we made the best decision with the information we had, and now we've learned more, so we're going to change. And honestly, trust also shows up in how we treat people in crisis. We can protect animals without treating humans like the enemy. And when we can do both, that's trust in action.
I love that. We have a new sign, let's mm-hmm. say, that we've been putting up that says, every pause connected to human heart.
I remember when I started, a lot of the tone in the organization was, well, we're an animal charity, we're not a people charity. And so I've been here for 13 years. And so, you know, my response to that has always been that that's not real. Mm-hmm. Like, we are a people charity and an animal charity. And I explain that to staff, that there's no way you are going to make any sort of beneficial or long-term lasting change for an animal if you don't connect with the people and make the change there. It's the only way you're going to get positive change.
That really leads in nicely to the next question that I had, which was, you know, you've seen a lot over 13 years. You've seen the change. When I came here, I think it's going to be 4 years now, this March. I know.
Okay, that's awesome.
You can't remember a time without me.
I don't want to think about those times, Sarah.
That when I came on, it was very much that ethos to me, that we are a people charity and an animal charity. So thinking about where you were 13 years ago, but also thinking, what are some ways that you think, from your experience, from what you're watching, that the animal welfare sector needs to update or change as a sector?
So, good question, Sarah. There's a few big ones. We need to move, I think the industry needs to move from being reactive to preventative, working to support families before the crisis, creating programs so that they're supported and we have the resources, we have the processes before the crisis comes. You know, we also need to improve and change our adoption culture. It has to be less about prove to us that you're perfect so you can adopt an animal, and more, what can we do and let's set you up to succeed, because we know that gatekeeping doesn't equal safety. As well, we could also, and what we've been working on, is improving our standards and our consistency, because it's that clarity that builds confidence. And probably most importantly, we need to take staff wellness seriously. The work is, and I know I've used the word a lot, heavy, but the work here is emotionally heavy. And we need to make sure that we're creating an environment that's sustainable for our staff as well, for the animals and for the people doing the work.
It's interesting too, because I think a lot of people see us for shelters, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later in some of my questions, but we have staff answering phones all day. Mm-hmm. We have staff who are online all day. And so do you think people know that it's heavy across all kind of departments here? Do you think people think about that?
Externally? I don't know. And I guess maybe that's why I want to do a series, is maybe to better explain to everyone all of the work that we do. Sometimes your questions are too big to answer because, you know, I want to intentionally go deep on that. But there needs to be an understanding of, you know, how are our staff working in the field of investigations, in the field of enforcement? How are our staff working, you know, when we're trying to make veterinary care accessible? You know, sheltering, it's easy because it's the most visible thing that we do, and it's what we're known for. But there's so much more that we do, and because we're trying to build out in ways that we can do it thoughtfully, kindly, considerately for the communities, it's involved. And our staff need to be skilled and trained, and we ask a lot of them. The community mm-hmm. asks a lot of our staff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the most important things that we're doing, and importantly, we're trying to be honest about the choices that we're making with the community, because we can't be everything to everyone. So what we're trying to do is build a clear framework for what we do, why we do it, how we measure it, and where it's working. And so that we can be have clarity about that for the community as well.
Toronto Humane Society CEO Phil Nichols also wrote a reflective piece recently, and in it he questioned if the work they are doing is contributing something meaningful, or if they are just keeping themselves busy with the parts of the work that are easier to measure. Do you ask yourself that about the Nova Scotia SPCA?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, and a very good article written by Phil. It's an important question, an essential question, and yes, it's one that we keep asking ourselves. When I do, I want to be clear, the Nova Scotia SPCA, we have never been an organization that's just been focused on busy work. You know, for more than a decade, we've invested in building systems and not just managing the symptoms. Even when the work is slower, harder to measure, and less visible, that includes things like building the College of Animal Welfare to professionalize the sector. It includes developing Tartan Tails, the SPCA veterinary hospitals. You know, we have them now located in Cape Breton, Stellarton, and Dartmouth to try and address the needs around the access to care. We've operated a mobile veterinary clinic that provides surgery and medical care to feral cat colonies around the province. So these aren't the easiest things to do. They're expensive, and they require long-term commitment and a willingness to invest, ahead of the crisis instead of reacting after the fact. But they're also deeply intentional. So yeah, we ask ourselves whether our work is meaningful, and then we hold ourselves accountable by continuing to choose the harder path, you know, like building that infrastructure, building professional standards, thinking about community-based solutions that actually reduce harm, you know, rather than just managing it more efficiently.
I have said that we are more than shelters, because so many people know the SPCA for sheltering. And so just exactly what you have said is, you know, about pet families, about humans. Where in the historic timeline of the organization, and, you know, 149 years, but the 13 years that you've been here, where did
I have not been here 150 years. Some days it can feel like it, but yeah.
Where in the timeline did that notion first appear? Where was that moment? Where was that room where it was said, we need to help before it gets to sheltering?
If you look back far enough, and we've had a researcher as we've been preparing for the 150 years. But if you look back far enough, that connection's always been there. It just wasn't named out loud. So historically, the SPCA movement grew out of a belief that cruelty to animals and cruelty in society are linked. That compassion is practice, not just a personality trait. And over time, many organizations, including the SPCAs, became known for sheltering. Again, as I've mentioned, it's the most visible work that we do. But the deeper truth is that animal welfare has always been about relationships between people, animals, and between communities. So what's changing now is that we're just being more explicit. We're saying publicly that improving outcomes for animals often requires supporting people and designing services that reflect real life, not an ideal perfect life.
Is this a trend that, and again, I'm going to go back to Toronto Humane Society because I feel that Phil has written about this too. Is this a trend, or what trends are you seeing amongst our fellow SPCAs in the country, humane societies in the country, in the animal social impact sector? Is it this movement away from, not away from, but including sheltering, but expanding?
It's a good question, Sarah, and it's something that we've been thinking a lot about because we've just been through a strategic planning process with our board. So what I expect that we're going to be seeing is more open conversation-based adoptions, a stronger focus on access to veterinary care and affordability, increased investment in animal behavior supports so that we can have some realistic outcomes, growing expectations around transparency and accountability. There's also, I think, a clear recognition that goodwill alone isn't enough, that the sector needs sustainable funding, clear mandates, and honest conversations about capacity.
What should the community be paying attention to in animal welfare right now and in the future?
So right now it's strain. I guess it's like strain is just, it's heavy out there.
Yeah.
So it's strain. It's strain on families, on, again, veterinary access, on housing, on frontline services. So you're going to keep seeing, while this strain exists in our families and our communities, you're going to keep seeing more animals in crisis because people are in crisis. You're going to see rising medical costs. You're going to see more behavioral needs because the animals are under stress and there's instability in the homes. You're going to see more pressure on shelters, not just because of volume, but from duration, animals staying longer because the world is harder. And I think defining the question of the next decade will be whether animal welfare can evolve from a sector that's essentially being held together by the sheer dedication, depending on a few people giving just a little bit more, into one that is supported by stable systems, realistic funding, thoughtful policy, and a shared responsibility.
Just a little bit.
Just a little.
Just a little bit.
just a little. Just until we solve all these problems.
Yeah. So if, you know, as a listener, I'm hearing that list. I'm starting, you know, to get inside the Nova Scotia SPCA a little bit through your reflection piece, through this podcast. You know, we're pulling the curtains back a little bit more than we have because of that list, right? So how can a listener, how can a community help with that?
So it's about, I think, supporting prevention and not just rescue. Donate to programs that keep animals with families. Support medical care and reduce crisis intake. You know, it's about being, another thing is about being a part of the humane culture. It's about speaking up for kindness and how we talk about people in tough situations and how we treat animals with high needs. Compassion is contagious. And we also need to advocate for systems. Animal welfare improves when communities invest in housing, mental health supports, accessible veterinary care. I definitely have some themes running through this, but and clear enforcement standards. And on a, you know, to be more practical, it's about adopt if you can, foster if you can, volunteer if you can. And if you can't, then be the person who shares reliable information and reports concerns appropriately and treats this work like the serious community responsibility that it is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's, I mean, it's at the heart of the conversations that we have almost daily here.
Yeah.
That people are hearing.
Yeah.
So you know, just thinking about this is the end of the first reflection that you're going to do this year. Mm-hmm. And talking about, you know, that the 10-year, the strategic plan was just worked through. You don't have to go into depth because, you know, you've got a whole year of reflection, but what is exciting you right now?
It's a cumulative impact of all of the work that we're doing. I'm really feeling that there are a lot of things right now that are coming together for the Nova Scotia SPCA, and that we are on the precipice of being able to change for the better. Not that, you know, what we've done in the past has been lackluster or insufficient. It hasn't been. But it's just that because we need to be nimble and change with society and where society's going, I am actually excited for the change. I'm excited about what I believe that we're going to be able to accomplish for the animals and communities, you know, once I get all of these pieces put together. And I can't talk about all of the pieces right now, but I do believe we're on the precipice for something big. You know, I no longer want to be some sort of old, fuddy, institutional organization. Like, there is change coming, and there's a lot of interesting people that are engaging with us and participating in the work that we do. And I'm excited to start communicating about it and talking about it and having these in-depth, thoughtful conversations because it's exciting. And I want people to know what we're doing and how we're doing it. And I want to have those conversations so that, I don't know, they can just see the good work that people are accomplishing throughout communities.
Elizabeth, I want to thank you for coming back onto the podcast. And I know that we're going to hear from you all year long on these reflections. If you haven't read Elizabeth's first reflection of the year, it is available on our website and will be linked in the episode notes for today. Thank you to all of our donors and staff and volunteers and community partners who make the work help make the work happen for 149 years as we start to gear towards 150. To our listeners, if you enjoyed this episode, please follow us, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star rating. Even better, share it with your friends and family so we can spread the word. Now, turn up the love for your pets, and we'll see you next time on the Nova Scotia SPCA podcast.